At first, I was afraid. I was petrified, thinking I could never, never, never live without you by my side. And then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong. And I grew strong, and I learned how to carry on. And now you're back from outer space. I just walked in to find you here. Well, that sad look upon your face should have changed my lock. I should have taken back my key. If I knew for just one second you'd be back to bother me. Now go, walk out the door, just turn around now. You're not welcome anymore. Weren't you the one who tried to hurt me with the bow? Think I'd crumble? Do you think I'd lay right down and die? Oh no, not I will survive. As long as I know how to love, I know I'll stay alive. I got all my life to live, I got all my love to give, and I'll survive, I will survive. Hey, yeah.
This is Queer Voices on KPFT, and this segment is called Queer Music Heritage. I'm J.D. Doyle, and tonight I'm bringing you three very special interviews with three very talented transgendered artists. They are Veronica Klaus, Jessica Xavier, and Georgie Jessup. And if you think being an independent artist is hard, try being a transgendered one. And that's why I thought Veronica's version of I Will Survive would be a good choice to start the show. I first met Veronica Klaus at the Glam Awards in 1999, when her debut album had been nominated for Best Recording by a Female Artist. It was called All I Want, and I just love that album. We'll talk about it a little later, but she has a new album out this year called Veronica Klaus Live at the Lodge, and that's where I got her version of I Will Survive. I asked her about that song. I've heard people say the world doesn't need still another version of I Will Survive, but I quite like yours.
Well, you know, I wondered that too. But I just felt like, you know, there's always room to say something in your own way, and I feel like we did something new with it. It's funny, because I sort of originally put it on there and wasn't even sure if it was going to make the album cut, you know, and just got such great feedback from it that decided that it had to be there.
Getting back to basics, who is Veronica Klaus?
Oh, well, that depends on who you ask. I'm a singer. I'm an actress. I'm a Scrabble fanatic. I'm from Illinois originally. I'm an artist.
Where did you get the name Veronica Klaus?
Well, the name, my last name has always been Klaus. But the name Veronica I got from, you know, I've always liked names that start with a V for some reason. I don't know, maybe it's they start out with a nice, bold stroke, you know? I think I got the name Veronica. I sort of decided on it after seeing Rainier Werner Fassbinder's Veronica Foss.
And that's the name of a movie?
It's his movie about dazzling heroin-addicted film star in decline.
there's something to strive for.
There you go. You know, I always had trouble picking out appropriate role models, but but it seemed like a great name.
Tell us about the new CD.
Well, my latest album is called Veronica Klaus Live at the Lodge, which is exactly what the name says. we decided to do a big benefit for an organization, a queer humanitarian aid organization called Rainbow World Fund. And that night we had a 10-piece band, a lot of classic material, everything from, you know, Fever with some original lyrics of mine in it, to Phoebe Snow song, a John Prine duet with Mark Weigel, a Carole King song, a Tom Waits song, all kinds of great mixture of R&B and jazz and blues, plus one of my own songs, Black Diamond Day, sort of a signature tune. And it was all a live recording for a great cause.
One of my favorite gay artists is Mark Weigel, and I was delighted when I found out that Veronica's new CD included a duet with Mark. Please tell us about the recording, Angel from Montgomery.
You know, my friend Mark Weigel, we've done some other recording together. I've done a couple projects with him on his CDs, one called Joe and Libby on his Different in the Same CD that I had such a great time with doing with him. And I've also sung some backup stuff with him on his latest CD, Soul Sex, a track called Victim. And we just had such a great time that when we started planning this show, we knew we wanted to do a couple duets. I didn't really know this song, and Mark brought it to my attention. And I'm a big Bonnie Raitt fan. Mark played this for me and suggested we do it, and I was jumped at the chance. So I love that song. Mark Weigel is amazing songwriter, and I love his voice. I love singing with him, harmonizing with him. It's just, we work really well together.
I am an old woman, look like my mother. My old man is another child that's grown old. If dreams were lightning, thunder, desire, this old house would have burned down a long time ago. Make me an angel, flies from Montgomery. Make me a poster of an old rodeo. Just give me one thing that I can hold on to. To believe in this living is just a hard way to go.
Of what song that you've written are you the most proud?
What's one song that I've written? The song I've written that I think I'm the most proud of, and I think that sort of gives people a really good idea of who I am and where I come from and that kind of thing, would have to be Black Diamond Days. It's an autobiographical tune about my hometown in Illinois. Sort of gives a really good picture of growing up in a small town and how it feels to have come from there, and, you know, an appreciation of where you come from and appreciation of where you've been and where you're going.
What are Black Diamond Days?
Black Diamond Days is the name of a celebration in my hometown that originated in my hometown. Gillespie, Illinois is the home of Black Diamond Days, the original festival of coal. Black diamonds are coal.
And would you talk about some of the lines in that song? I love that song.
Well, it sort of gives a little bit of a travelogue of Gillespie, you know, my small hometown. I think that I wanted to, being a transgender, transsexual person, I wanted to write a song that, you know, acknowledged that process and that sort of history. It's not specific about that, but at the same time, you know, if you know my story, I mean, it's easy to pull those things out. But at the same time, another thing that was important to me in writing songs is that the songs not be so specific that people can't relate their own experiences to my experiences. You know, I think that feelings are universal, you know, no matter, you might not have the same circumstances, but you people certainly feel the same way, have the same kind of feelings about their circumstances, you know. And I think that I get people all the time saying they relate so much to that song, even though, you know, they're not transgender or they're not gay or they're not, you know, they might just come from a small town and feel, have those same feelings. There's a lot of references, symbolism in Black Diamonds and gems, and life's a gem in the palm of her hand, and you just can't force this jewel of a girl into a square setting. There's a line that says, you can't go back to a church that burned down a lifetime ago. And, you know, on the one hand, that's a very, very literal thing for me, because growing up, the church was really a sanctuary to me, not the church on Sundays, not the church full of people, but in my very small town, they never locked the church doors. And so when I was growing up in junior high and high school, I used to go in the evenings, you know, when nobody else was around, and spend hours and hours and hours in the church and play the piano and sing and just be there by myself. It was sort of my refuge, you know. And after I moved to California, that church burned down. You know, it's a symbolic thing, but it applies on a literal level and on a symbolic level. You know, you move on in your life and you have these memories of places and people and times in your head, but you can't necessarily go back there.
Never had a chance to be a little girl, changed so fast. She's a woman in this world. She's just a visitor. Stranger in town, the same but different, still knows her way around. The old slag pile, the five and dime, people and places remain in her mind. But you can't go back to a church that burned down a lifetime ago. Dying corsets in a chili pot, nobody noticed, but one forgot, not quite black, always shades of gray. Father doesn't have anything to say, you see. Things like this don't happen where he comes from. No, no, no.
Black Diamond Days.
Never thought I'd miss them.
Black Diamond Days. Understand, from that old cold town to a golden coast, you see, she's lived a larger life than most. You just can't force this jewel of a girl into a square setting. No, 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 no. Black Diamond Days.
Never thought I'd miss them.
Black Diamond Days.
Gotta shine, gotta shine. Oh, see her
I want to talk about your first album a little. Tell us about your recording of Remember Walking in the Sand, coupled with Ruler of My Heart.
Oh, Walking in the Sand is such an amazing song. The Shangri-Las were such an incredible group. I think my first introduction to the Shangri-Las was through Bette Midler doing Leader of the Pack. The Shangri-Las are one of those groups that I think I discovered first through her, and the Shangri-Las are amazing. I mean, they were a teen group, but their emotions and their feelings and their lyrics are so raw and so on the edge that they just sort of transcend that teen genre.
I love the way you segged into Ruler of My Heart.
Oh, Ruler of My Heart, it was originally a Irma Thomas song from the 60s, and Irma Thomas is another person I just adore. Her New Orleans recordings from the 60s and even up till now, she's still an amazing voice. And Ruler of My Heart is just one of those songs that it's almost like a lullaby for me.
To hear you do that a cappella was just stunning.
I wanted so badly to do that a cappella, and I really just had to jump and do it because I wondered, doing something a cappella on a CD seems very risky to me. But I'm glad that I did. Years ago I used to close most shows with that a cappella. And like I said, it really is almost like a lullaby to me.
Seems like the other day my baby went away. He went away from me. He said we were through. He'd found somebody new. Let me think. What can I do? Oh no, oh no, oh no, 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 no.
Remember
walking in the sand, walking hand in hand. Life was so exciting. His kiss was so inviting. When he touched my cheek with his fingertips, softly, softly we'd meet in a kiss. Whatever happened to of my soul, where can you be? I wait patiently. My heart cries out with pain inside. Hear my cry, please, my king. When you're alone, the going gets rough.
back, come back, come back, baby. I've had enough. Make me a queen, happy again. Hear my cry, please, please, my king.
Tell me about Blind Hearts and Knowing Glances.
It's about, again, about a breakup, and a lot of this, several of the songs on this, the first CD, were written after a particular breakup, and it was a very difficult one for me. This person had really, in some ways, helped make some of that songwriting possible while we were together. They were a musician, and helped me sort of get over my fear or my my issues with finishing songs and getting it out there for people to hear. You know, I had started songs a million times but never finished them or never thought that they were worth presenting to anyone. And that person, you know, really helped me through that. And there's a few different songs on there that are They're very bittersweet. There were lots of good things about that relationship, but it just wasn't going to happen, you know, it wasn't going to work. So it's still, you know, there's still some bittersweetness there.
But some good songs came out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Can't sleep without you beside me. Can't close my eyes.
Where it's going.
For the last couple of years, one of the local hit productions in San Francisco has been Family Jewels, The Making of Veronica Clouse. It's the story of a boy from a Midwest family who grew up to become a singer and a woman. Could you tell us about the show?
Well, Family Jewels, The Making of Veronica Clouse is a one-woman show, a solo theater piece, and it's basically my life so far. Few of the songs that are on these two CDs are in the show, but it's really stories, it's songs and stories woven into songs about growing up, about transition, about being different, about trying to relate when you don't really relate to the place where you're growing up, and how do you deal with, you know, feeling different and surviving and feeling good about yourself and, you know, dealing with changes and with who you are and relationships and all that. It's funny, it's poignant, it's sexy, it's smart, which was really something that was important to me, to make something that was smart and funny at the same time. And it's just been great. We've got really amazing feedback, and it felt so good to do the show. People have a lot of questions, or questions they don't necessarily ask of transgendered people. And, you know, this was the opportunity to really present my story my way. I've not really made a big issue about it in general over the years, because I felt like the music was the important thing. I felt like that when you're talking about transition and that kind of thing, it's sensational, and people, you know, they want to simplify it to one phrase or something like that, and it's a whole life worth of experience. It's impossible to condense it into a sound bite. For the longest time, I wasn't hiding anything, but at the same time, I just didn't feel like I knew it would be reduced to Veronica Clouse, transsexual singer. And that doesn't tell the story. And so I felt like the only way I really wanted to tell it was if I got to tell it my way. And this was really my opportunity to do that.
Since the show is autobiographical, what's the hardest part about doing that?
The hardest part is that there are still many parts of the show where I talk about my parents, my past relationship with my parents, my current relationship with my parents, that kind of thing, I think is really the most difficult, because a lot of it, even though it's in the past, a lot of it's still very, very emotional. A lot of it is still very, very fresh in my mind, and a lot of it's still really kind of difficult to talk about when you're being honest.
Do you ever feel that, gee, I wish people would not focus on the transgendered part, and instead focus on the performance and the talent?
Sure. I felt like it was more important for me to prove through my art who I was than through a discussion of any kind of clinical or, you know, sensational sort of
Exposé.
Exposé, exactly. You know, I mean, because I think that, to me, part of what I love about the show is that the more larger than life my life is, and the more I talk about details of my life, and the bigger my life gets in the show and in, you know, examining details and that kind of thing, the bigger you blow it up, the more people see similarities. It's almost like when you put it under the microscope, you can get down to a level where people see things they can relate to. When you go into all these relationships with your parents and relationships with how you're perceived in the world and how you really feel about yourself or who you feel like you are, you know, people can relate to those things. Whereas, you know, on the surface, they may not feel like they can.
Do you feel people react differently to you as a transgendered performer than they would to a female performer?
Oh, I'm sure they do react differently because, you know, they sort of sometimes, you know, it's funny because when I'm performing in like a jazz club, you know, where I'm not really making an issue about my gender and that kind of thing, it's not an issue. I've proven who I am and what I can do. It's not an issue to me. It's not an issue to my musicians. It's not an issue to, you know, the venue. But that being said, you always, always go through a period of, you know, it's like the first song or the first two songs. It's like I look out in the audience and I'm singing and I can see the gears turning. You know, you can see the thoughts written across people's foreheads, and it takes a song or two songs for them to figure things out, to get over it, and to enjoy the music. And I think that in that process, they come out having learned something about the world and having learned something about people who are different from them, that they're not that different. First of all, music is universal, and feelings are universal. Experiences might not be the same, but feelings are universal.
Veronica was kind enough to send me a recording of a song from her show, and it's never been released, so this is a special treat. And because of the song's language, you'll soon see why this treat is reserved for my internet listeners. Here's Slow Gin by Veronica Klaus.
Slow gin, slow gin, try to wash away the pain inside. I'm sick and I'm all done in. I'm standing in the rain and I feel like I'm gonna cry. I'm so fucking lonely, ain't even
Well, I'm sick and I'm all done in, and I'm standing in the rain, and I feel like I'm gonna cry. I'm so fucking lonely, ain't even high. I'm so fucking lonely. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child long way from.
I've seen you described in the press as a San Francisco diva, a San Francisco performance icon, and San Francisco Weekly magazine described you as Vanessa Williams, Catwoman, and Jessica Rabbit rolled into one. How do you react to this kind of recognition?
Vanessa Williams, Jessica Rabbit, and Catwoman all rolled into one. I mean, that's a dream quote. I love that. Yes, I do remember that. It was a while ago, but I love that. Well, you know, it's like you can't believe your own
PR.
Your own PR too much, but it's certainly really great to be respected, to feel like your 15 years of performance and hard work has earned you some sort of reputation or respect. Reputation that threatens to become a career.
I've read that you did a show called Putting on the Tits.
Years ago, I did a benefit. It was sort of tongue-in-cheek, but I did a benefit called Putting on the Tits. For cosmetic surgery, and I think I actually lost some money on that benefit, but...
You didn't have to give anything back.
No, I didn't have to give anything back, but I think I did have to earn enough money to pay for the ones, and then an extra one, I think, somewhere in there.
Let's get back to the new album. The additional verses to Fever, those were your invention?
They are. I wrote these original lyrics to Fever originally about 10 years ago. San Francisco built a new library, and there was an opening of the James Hormel Center, the Gay and Lesbian Center, in the library, and I was playing at that opening. I wanted to do something special for that opening, and so I wrote the two original verses to Fever, talking about Liberace and his partner and Gertrude Stein and Alice B. Toklas, you know, just wanted to put a little bit of history in it.
Let me tell you a little something you might not know. Liberace had a chauffeur, very young and handsome was he. You see, he put out and shut up until he was fed up, and then he sued for palimony. He gave him fever, that's what he paid him for. Fever when he held him tight. Fever on the turnpike. Fever all through the night. Gertrude Stein and Alice B. Toklas had a long-standing affair. She said a rose is a rose. rose is a rose, don't you know? But my Alice is a flower so rare, she gives me fever when she kisses, fever when she holds me tight. Listen to my story. Hear these words that I have to say. I was made to give you fever, be it Fahrenheit or centigrade. I give you fever. Oh yeah, when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight. Everybody's got the fever. That's something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago. Fever started long ago. Fever started long ago.
Again, that was Veronica Clouse from her new album, Veronica Clouse, Live at the Lodge.